If you're rocking to get up and it's not a rocking chair, it's time for the Joint Relief Institute. Fast relief, covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Everybody, and welcome to the Wintrust to Business Lunch. I'm Jisoo Yi. So wonderful to be with you and appreciate you staying with WGN Radio throughout your day. In fact, I'm really excited to be here because I was stuck in an elevator in the building earlier today. And if it wasn't for the resourcefulness and brute strength of my producer, Jasmine Cooper, I wouldn't be here hosting the show. So thanks, Jazzy.
No problem. You're so sweet.
There's a whole story behind that, but that's for another day. Okay, so let's get started. We have Ian Scher from CNET. He's the editor at large there, and he's got a lot of useful information for us. First off, let's just start off with the top picks in terms of gifts, Ian, that you and your staff have decided on.
Yeah, so we obviously are aware that we're down to the deadlines on shipping, so we wanted to come up with a good list of easy stocking stuffers. So actually, one of our favorite products of the year is called the Amazon Echo Dot with Clock. So you may have had an Amazon Echo. It's that little hockey puck with the AI voice whose name I won't mention so that I don't set them all off. And typically, they're just this nice little hockey puck, but we put them in our bedrooms, in our kitchens, in our living rooms. Why not put a clock in it? And the one that they made, Amazon made this. It's usually $50. It's going for under $35 now during the holidays. It's actually pretty good. I mean, it does what it does, and it has a clock, and who wouldn't like that? So we're big fans of it. Another thing that we had that we recommend is called a Roku Streaming Stick Plus. You may have heard of Roku, R-O-K-U. They're one of the competitors to Android TV and Apple TV and all of that. And what they can do with this device, which is also under $50, is you can plug it into the back of a dumb TV and make it smart. And Ooh. There's a bunch of apps out there and all that type of stuff. So it's really good. And in fact, a lot of the newer TVs that we really like one of them is by TCL. That's a Chinese company. They make a Series 6 TV that we think is one of the best values for the money that you can buy. It has Roku software in there. So the Roku software is becoming a very popular competitor to Apple. So it's worth looking into.
Do you find that people replace their TVs as often as they used to, or is it more or less now?
You know, it's interesting. I'm one of the weird people who doesn't replace his TV very quickly. So I had the same TV for 15 years.
What? So yours is a dumb TV.
It's a very dumb TV. And then I replaced it with an HD TV that I bought back in 2010. And I've only now just replaced that one. So 9 years. So it definitely, I'm probably on the farther edge of how long I hold on to TVs. Most people I know tend to replace them every 5 to 7 years, which is pretty standard. And so a lot of people are getting smart TVs by default now because you really can't buy a dumb TV anymore. But the important thing to think about is that when you're doing this, to think about which one you're buying, right? If you're buying LG, you're stuck with their app ecosystem unless you buy a Roku or an Android Apple TV to plug into it. Same thing with if you buy Samsung, you have to deal with their apps and what they do. And same thing. So that's one of the things you want to think about as you're dealing with these types of things. And of course, we break it all down on CNET, but it's one of those things that people have to deal with as they're buying TVs these days.
Well, I love that those two gifts were under $50, which I really appreciate.
Yes.
So I tease this. So we got to get through this pretty quick, or you can just go over the top three rules maybe for giving a tech gift. I imagine buying a loved one a gift of tech is just as complicated as maybe buying jewelry for, your significant other too.
It can be, but it can even be more perilous because the worst tech gift you can buy, I'm telling you all right now, is a health-related gift. If you buy someone a Fitbit or something like that, it may come across the entirely wrong way, right?
Yes.
If I got one of those, if someone got me like a Peloton, I'd be like, wait a minute, what are you saying about me?
I was going to say, just like the Peloton, the controversy around the Peloton commercial.
Exactly, right? So it's definitely you want to think about if you're buying a health gift for someone, first off, know that it's something they want. And also make sure a lot of people, there's a lot of fashion in these things now, right? All the Apple watches have the different straps. They have different colors of the watches themselves. That's all really just a whole bunch of trouble for you. So if you want to buy a house gift for someone, but you don't know what they want, my favorite thing to do is buy a gift card for that amount and then print out a copy of whatever that thing is, right? And a Fitbit or whatever, and wrap it in there with the gift card and say, I was thinking about you. This is a thoughtful gift. Here's the money. Spend it however you want, but this is what I was thinking about getting you. That is at least a safer way to do it.
Right.
One of the other things to keep in mind is that when you're buying stuff for these days, everyone has all these closed ecosystems, right? You're buying Apple, you live in Apple world. If you buy an Android, you live in Android world. Samsung, you live in Samsung world. So know what they are, what they live in, right? Do they like Apple products? Do they prefer Samsung products? Because when you buy one of these things, typically there's all these accessories that you have to buy with it. And you have to know what they prefer, right? If you buy AirPods and they're a Samsung person, they're not going to really like them as much. So that's an important thing to keep in mind as well.
And you also don't want them to have to buy extras too, right?
Well, typically, if you're going to, at least be thoughtful about it, right? Again, give them a gift card for the extras, or at least be aware of the extras and whether they have them. You know, when a lot of people would buy these smart speakers with a little plug-in for the iPod, a lot of people didn't have iPods, right?
Right.
Maybe they had the competitor, and that was really frustrating, right?
Well,
so you definitely want to look out for that.
These are all fantastic points that you bring up. All you can find it all on CNET, and we appreciate you being with us because I know that you just made that big move, moving apartments and with a baby, and on top of that, your dumb TV made this last move as well. So we're wishing you a happy holiday, and thank you so much for being with us.
Of course. Take care. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Wintrust Business Lunch. Very excited because we have Bob Dunklow. He is the COO of OMI Industries, and they have an industrial, commercial, and a consumer division, and they are manufacturers of best-in-class odor-eliminating solutions. But you probably have heard of them because you might have used their product FreshWave before. It's one of my favorites. Hi, Bob. How are you?
Hello, G. It's great to be here.
So let's talk a little bit about the success of FreshWave. I think that's what listeners probably, they've probably used your product. It's all natural. Can you describe it?
Yeah, we, OMI founded, we invested in a 30 years ago, a chemistry, plant oil-based chemistry that was highly effective at eliminating odor. And so for half of our 30 years, all we did was industrial solutions for our industrial clients. But in 2003, we launched FreshWave, a consumer brand that has been tremendously successful and is available at leading retailers in the area like Bed Bath & Beyond, Ace Hardware, Target, and as well as on our website, freshwaveworks.com.
The reason why I love it is in the last couple of years, I have developed a severe allergy to any type of chemical fragrance that people sure. use, especially in cars. And I ride a lot of Lyft and Uber, and I find that a lot of the drivers have these fake smelling chemicals to cover up odors, and it gives me an allergic reaction, and it's really gives me a migraine. It's really uncomfortable.
Well, it's very common today. I mean, I think it's kind of like peanut allergies, right? When I was a child, you know, peanut allergies were unheard of. And same thing with chemical sensitivity conditions. And so that is one of the, you know, we hear one of the most common forms of consumer feedback we get from FreshWave consumers is their appreciation, because people that have chemical sensitivity, asthma, allergies, so on and so forth, can, because we don't have phony fragrances in our products, we actually use a natural plant oil-based chemistry to eliminate odors.
Okay, so the reason why we have you in studio today, I found this fascinating. You guys are already started this years ago, but you're preparing for the fact that Illinois in January is going to be legalizing pot.
Yes.
And you created a new product called Cannabolish. Am I
Correct.
Saying it right?
You are.
Describe how you guys thought of this idea and how long ago the R&D started.
Well, we're a solution-based company, and nuisance odors are, you know, anybody, when you confront a nuisance odor, whether it's smoke, whether it's a cat's litter box, or whether you live next to near a garbage dump or a wastewater treatment plant, and odors are coming into your area where you live, you want to be rid of those. You want a solution for those, and that's what we do. And so in the cannabis industry, smoking cannabis is going to be a very common form of use of cannabis, and so there's a residual smoke odor. So we were able to take our chemistry and modify it specifically to attack residual cannabis smoke odor. And we have a spray, a candle that it's just really, really remarkable. Not only out of the air, but also take it off your clothes, off your furniture. You know, you can spray your drapes if you're consuming it in your bedroom, your linens, so on and so forth.
Well, this is what I find so interesting, because I thought, well, why not just use Freshwave? Won't that take care of it? But you said that the cannabis odor is much more complex. And
correct.
So you had to create a whole new product.
Correct. Odor elimination is very complex. Not many people can, actually nobody does it very well, except for us. We have a, in our, we're based here in Palatine, our corporate office, but we have an R&D and manufacturing and distribution campus in Southern Indiana, where it's a state-of-the-art R&D facility that where we are able to modify our core chemistry. Freshwave would work, by the way, on smoke odors, and it has for years. But we found that when we identified the specific elements of cannabis odor, we were able to adjust our plant oils to specifically to those elements in cannabis smoke odor, and it's amazing. I mean, amazing.
Well, I mean, I know it's not legal now, but sometimes you'll just be walking on the street,
yes,
you know, and you'll get a whiff of it, and it is powerful.
It is.
And you're saying that this cannabolish will really work.
No, it does. I mean, we developed how we got into that was we work with a lot of major hotel companies and one major rental car company that this was a challenging, you know, so they were using our core chemistry. But in working with them, we found they had to work a little too hard. So we worked in hotels and in rental cars to really dial in our chemistry to be quickly and 100% effective at eliminating cannabis odor.
What's so
and then we took that formulation and created this consumer brand, Cannabolish.
Well, what's so fascinating about OMI is because you are in so many different sectors. You said, you know, industrial, commercial, and consumer.
Mm-hmm.
Even with Cannabolish, you're going to be in the growing facilities. You're going to be in the working in the cultivation part of it, as well as the consumer side as well.
You want to hear a really great application we're doing right now? We're very excited about out in West Hollywood, California. There's the nation's first cannabis cafe. So you can order food there like you would any restaurant, but you can also consume cannabis there. And it's almost like choosing cannabis off of a wine. Just as you would a wine list, you can choose cannabis.
Your strain.
Everything else. And also the device that you use it from. They'll rent you the device. And they have an outdoor patio. And so as you can imagine, a patio full of people consuming cannabis. This is in a strip mall in West Hollywood. And so they needed a solution because their neighbors in the strip mall didn't want to smell cannabis smoke odor. So Cannabolish is actually being piped around the exterior of the and you can stand right on the other side of that fence line where the cafe or where the patio is. And you'll never know but with your nose that cannabis is being consumed on the other side of the fence.
Bob, I have never thought about this.
Yes.
I'm a Korean-American, so when I go to the Korean barbecue restaurant joint, I know I can't go anywhere afterwards because my clothes are going to smell of Korean barbecue. And I never thought about this factor that if you're going to one of these cafes, and maybe you're going with a friend that's smoking, but you're not smoking, you're going to smell like it.
100%. Yep. That's exactly right.
We actually have a text question from a listener. Is there a product, actually I think it's similar to what you were saying, for backyard perimeter spray from neighbors smoking outside? A lot of close quarters, a lot of people in condo and apartment living, maybe they just want to take care of their own patio.
Probably not available. I don't think our consumer products, a big backyard, would work. We could engineer a solution for you, as we did with the little cafe in West Hollywood. But what you can do, though, is either with regular Freshwave or Cannabolish. You know, like we have continuous release. Our best selling product is continuous release gel, and you just set that in your house, and 24/7, any odors in that room are gone, and so that would keep any odor that's coming into your house to be eliminated.
And like you said, you have the candles as well, so candles around maybe your patio.
Yes,
that would help.
That would help too. Exactly. Yes.
So you did mention Freshwave, of course, is carried by a lot of major retailers.
Yes.
But who is going to carry Cannabolish?
Well, we actually do have a couple of you can find it in select Ace Hardware stores and Bed Bath & Beyond here in Chicago, as well as our website, cannabolish.com and on Amazon. But we will be selling through dispensaries. But as you know, it's a little bit like the sports betting. You know, sports betting and cannabis, recreational cannabis, are becoming active on January 1st. the laws were passed, but a lot of the details are still being, so the cannabis dispensaries are still have a lot of work to do to get
their hands are full right now.
Full right now, just getting to sell their cannabis
right.
products. The accessories will kind of be the second stage of that. So, but believe me, I mean, any consumer out there right now could get, you know, as we're talking right now, could order Cannabolish online.
Can you tell me how many years it took for you to perfect this recipe?
About four.
Wow.
And we had an interesting offshoot to that as well. We cannabis grow facilities, you know, the greenhouses, the agribusiness is as sophisticated as any in America. But when big greenhouses are developed, the neighbors near that don't want to smell the flowering plants of the cannabis. And we also have our EcoSorb. We developed a specific formulation specifically for cannabis grow facilities, and it's being tremendously successful.
So it's just so fascinating, all of these layers that I would have never thought of, because you have to provide a different solution and tweak the formula depending on which sector you're
using. It's science, pure and simple, and it's the only science we know. 30 years, we don't make things shinier, we don't kill bacteria, we eliminate odor. Nobody knows how to do it more effectively, more efficiently than OMI.
And it really is all natural.
Yes.
It's not going to hurt humans or animals.
Absolutely not. And in fact, we have independent third-party testing done. We have to, because in a lot of cases, like in the Lowell Cafe application, we're vaporizing our product into the air where people are inhaling it. So we have to have all the independent validation that it's safe and healthy.
Well, absolutely fascinating. Thank you so much. This is thanks to Bob Dunklau, COO of OMI Industries. Of course, you know them from Fresh Wave, but you're soon going to know them also from their product, Cannabolish. Thank you so much, Bob.
Thanks, G. Great being here.
Back on the Wintrust to Business Lunch, and Crane's Daily Gist host, Amy Guth, is in studio with us. Hi, Amy.
Hello.
A lot going on today. I know you've been very busy.
I mean, that's just kind of the way of the podcast, you know?
It is.
I like get up in the morning and say, okay, what the heck is happening today? Here are the things I want to talk about.
But I love it because you're always so on top of everything.
I try to be. It's a juggling act.
Well,
I
was checking the Crane's website, and the big story is Allstate scrapping insurance brand.
Yeah, you know, Allstate's had a couple things this year. And interestingly, I'm about to do a bunch of kind of like look back over the year and do some top business stories. Those episodes will be out next week and the week after for some holiday stuff, because not a lot of, you know, not a lot of reporters are going to be in the office during the holidays. So I'm going to do those and offer those up. But this is one of those stories I think is so interesting. So right now, in 2011, Allstate bought Esurance, which is based in San Francisco, for, I don't have the number in front of me, but well over $1 billion. I mean, it was a big, big buy, right?
Wow.
Huge money. And here they are. They're getting rid of it. They're scrapping it. It's done. And the reason they bought it is because they kind of wanted to feel like they were competing with stuff like Geico and Progressive that were kind of cool and online, and you could do all your things online through an online portal, and it wasn't about dealing with agents. Allstate agents didn't love that. But another issue kind of happening right now is that Allstate agents were recently in the news because their commission structure changes on January 1st. Really significantly. So, you know, if you think about that, being an insurance agent, that's how you make your money, is renewing policies and selling
right.
new policies. They're changing it so that, you know, like these long-term relationships that agents have had for years and years and years, they're going to get way less commission. So Allstate agents are already not super happy.
Yeah, and of course, this is important to us locally because Allstate is a Northbrook-based company.
Yeah, they're a local company. So it's kind of an interesting time where you have some disgruntled agents. Getting rid of Esurance has the potential to bring back some of the issues prior to 2011 that agents struggled with, of like buying things online and buying things from them. Because what Allstate's plan is in place of Esurance, they're just going to lump everything underneath the Allstate brand, including kind of the the web-only portal for buying insurance. So it'll be interesting.
Wow, this is the number that you were looking for earlier. Was it 1 billion? Because it said Allstate.
Yeah, it was. It was a billion in 2011. That's right. So they spent that's a very significant amount of money to spend in 2011 and already be scrapping it. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So that brand is gone. But, you know, a lot of the functionality will still be there. It'll just all be under one roof.
So, and you said the fallout from this would probably be...
Well, I mean, it'll be interesting, right? Because I think agents are kind of already competing with like, okay, you've just changed our commission structure. Now you're going to make it easier for people to buy directly from the website without even dealing with us. So I think it's going to be, that's going to be a story to watch, I think, in the first quarter of the year ahead of what's happening at Allstate. What's the culture? What's the vibe? What are the agents versus the company? Kind of what's that relationship going to be like?
Well, hopefully everybody will get to keep their jobs. That's the main thing.
Well, there's that. I mean, the agents are business owners, so they they build an Allstate agency. It's a matter of how much new business do they need to go get.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've seen in the past where agents kind of bailed after and went to a competitor. So, you know, we'll watch that one closely because I think that's going to be a really interesting one.
Fascinating. Okay. Something that I think is fun that was on the website at Cranes is that Sophia Bush, the actress.
Yes, has a beautiful house.
Oh, my goodness. If you're listening right now, whenever you're not driving or if you are on lunch break, try to log on and take a look at the photos of Sophia Bush's West Loop loft. It is stunning, breathtaking.
Well, see, there are two sets of photos. So there's the listing photos. Those are on the Crane story.
Okay.
There's a link in the Crane story to the Elle Decor story.
Ooh.
That story has, you know, very beautiful artsy editorial photos with her furniture and all her stuff in there. Oh my gosh, she has a pink metallic dining table. Like, how fun is that? I mean, there's just really creative use of paint and color and shapes in this place. She partnered with a designer and is now going into business to kind of create this design brand with this friend of hers. This place is really gorgeous. When you think of a big star, you think these multi-million dollar homes. This was, I mean, for what's happening in the West Loop right now, and for as beautiful as this home is, she's reduced the price. It was $2.4 million. Now it's $2.1 million. Not that that's anywhere close to my range of housing whatsoever. But that's you can look at it and say that's a good deal because it's the only loft in the building. It's the elevator opens right up into it. And so it's, you know, it's kind of like a penthouse feel. It also has a big roof deck. It is so beautiful. I was talking with Dennis Rodkin, Crane's residential real estate reporter, on the podcast today, and we were just kind of oohing and aahing over all of these gorgeous photos. It's beautifully decorated. The kitchen is so stunning. It's got the like two Sub-Zero, the fridge and the freezer.
Side by side.
And then next to it is a third panel for like the wine chilling. It's really beautiful.
I think if I could wake up in a home like this every day, I would have no wants ever in my life ever again.
Yeah, why would you ever want to go out? You're like, I don't need to go to whatever restaurant. I'm just going to sit in my gorgeous kitchen and admire my beautiful kitchen.
If I only had $2 million and then that way I could save money by never going out to eat ever again.
That's the thing.
Because of the kitchen.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, she is known for Chicago PD, which is filmed locally, and then One Tree Hill. And I just did a quick little Google search, and it says that she has a estimated net value of $9 million.
So. Oh, is that all?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
That's it.
There's another story that we talked about today that I talked to Dennis Rodkin about, and that is this very gorgeous kind of like medieval French chateau in, I think, Evanston, that is on the market. It is so beautiful. It is another one of those where somebody really went all in on architectural detail. There's this like windy little staircase. There are these kind of cool, almost turret looking things on the roof. It's such a cool house. He has such a fun job because he gets to find these really unusual homes. Often he goes into them, you know, talks to the people who are buying or selling or whatever. But that was a real standout one that he looked at recently and wrote about. That's so beautiful. But it sold less than it sold in its last two sales.
Oh, wow.
That's sort of a thing he finds often is like, it sold less than what is kind of a thing he does on social media. And he did that. Not only did it sell less than its last sale, but the one before that too.
Oh, wow. Well, I guess maybe that is not in vogue right now, that style, perhaps.
I mean, I think there's a lot of uncertainty around Fritz Kagi's, who's the Cook County tax assessor, as he's working his way through different parts of, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty around property taxes and what they're going to look like. And, you know, I think that's a big part of it that's hitting both the commercial and residential part of real estate. But, you know, it's really fun to kind of look at these houses and just imagine. It's the kind of house where you need a wardrobe for the house. I said that on the podcast. I was like, you're not going to walk around there in yoga pants.
No.
You need like a dressing gown.
I would want
and dress for dinner.
Yes, I would want to be the belle of the ball.
And there is a nook in this house that's like a a writing nook with surround. It's like windows and wood paneling with a little writing desk.
So that I can write my novel that I've been wanting to work on since...
I think that in that kind of environment, you have to say, one writes one's memoirs.
Wonderful, darling. Well, thank you so much, Amy Guth, host of the Crane's Daily Gist. Thanks so much.
Always a pleasure.
Love having you in studio. Thank you so much. A Gallup poll found that the number of U.S. adults that think college is very important has fallen from 70% in 2013 to just 51% today. Young people are part of the reason why the decline is happening. And also, it seems that college is cost prohibitive and not necessarily accessible to everyone. And I know that right now, a lot of students are maybe getting the results of early admissions applications as well. So we thought it was a good time to have Taru Clavel with us to talk about what colleges are worth the high price and which aren't, and a comparison of American schools versus international schools. And Taru is a global education consultant. Hi, Taru.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
And I know that you also have an article in the Chicago Tribune out today as well.
I do. I do. Good timing.
Perfect timing. So tell us about what's going on right now with American colleges and why this decline is happening.
Well, there are a few things, and you touched on a few. The affordability, really. College tuition has risen at twice the rate of inflation over the past two decades. And on a comparative education, putting that into context, most countries, developed countries, offer public education at the university level. So it's free. And it's about $4,000 a year or less for those that even charge tuition. Right now, a third of all adults have student loans, and our federal student loan debt is at $1.5 trillion, and add an additional $100 billion for private loans. And then we're not really preparing our kids from high school to go to college. So basically, half of our students at two-year colleges are going into remedial classes, and a fifth at our four-year colleges are going to remedial classes, and our graduation rates are low. I mean, we're talking, they're just at about 60% 6 years after matriculating. And then we have this whole other issue when we talk about our kids not being able to launch. Right now, 16% of our millennials are living at home, and just under a quarter of our children have or have had a psychiatric disorder. So all these things are coming together and kind of painting this picture. Well, why should we go to college? I mean, a lot of countries still believe in tertiary education, whereby they go to not maybe a four-year university, but they go on to a skills-based kind of institution so that, you know, they become plumbers or electricians or other specified professions.
Well, I think, and that's a big issue that we're having right now in our country, is that there aren't enough people to fill very good, highly paying trade jobs. And why is it that people don't think about trade schools?
Well, I think, you know, and this is something that's happened culturally over the last, especially more so over the last decade or so, where everybody is supposed to go to college, right? And that's been a big push, you know, through Clinton and Obama, and it's been, you know, we have to get our kids through high school and have high school graduation rate so that everybody can have access to this four-year college experience. But what we haven't really taken into account is that it's not accessible, nor does the graduate necessarily reap the rewards that we had hoped that they would.
Well, I mean, I'm glad you touched on the student loan crisis. I am one of those adults still paying off my student loans. Mine came from law school, but it does really delay the ability to buy a home, start a family, get married. It's really setting folks back.
Absolutely. And these are the larger societal consequences in the context that we have to be aware of. I mean, that's why I bring up other nations, because right, college or education in general is a public good. We're only as good as our education system and the graduates that we have. And the fact that we're encumbering students after graduating and not letting them launch successfully to be, you know, self-sufficient is kind of, we're kind of cutting off our noses despite our face. It doesn't make any sense. We're not launching students to be successful.
So, Taru, here in the Chicagoland region, also in the state of Illinois, we have a lot of options in terms of schooling, some that are very expensive and elite and others that are state schools. What do you recommend to parents when they're trying to make that decision between whether to go to a more, higher ranked school or a more elite school versus maybe a school that's more affordable?
So I talk about this in World Class because I educated my kids overseas in Hong Kong, Shanghai, and Tokyo. And, you know, we talk about world rankings and top 20 schools and where, you know, the reputation of the school may be most important. But the reality is you can get a phenomenal education at a non-quote-unquote name brand school, you know, because we have to pull apart what rankings really, really mean. And for the most part, they're very selective in terms of figuring, okay, so what factors are important? Is it really important how much research the institution does to your own personal experience, how international it is, or, you know, all these factors or variables may not inform your personal experience. So forget about the rankings. What you should do is figure out what it is you want to go to college for and figure out all the different options, because you know what? A public institution may give you a better educational experience than a private one that may encumber you with you know, decades of debt. You know, we really have to get off this you know, top 20 kind of a rankings thing.
That mentality definitely isn't helping us. Would you say that maybe even the ability to get placed for a job from that institution is more important, or the alumni networking that happens there, is that's more important than necessarily the name brand or the ranking?
Well, for sure. This is, you know, and we talk about the one thing that maybe a lot of people want to think about when they think about these elite schools is the social capital, right? The connections that you make at these schools. But the reality is, yes, absolutely. You have to look at what kind of a job you can get. And a lot of schools now have programs where you can work, you know, outside of the school. So it's not just for financial aid students, really. It's to get employment opportunity to start your career off while you are an undergraduate. And these kind of programs are invaluable, really, you know, because they help you get a start not only to making money, but oftentimes these can lead to job offers right upon graduation.
For parents listening right now, what would you say is the most important thing that they can do in terms of making sure that their children's education is successful?
Well, I think, you know, you have to start when they're really, really young and every day talk to them about their what an education means and their experience and what their goals are, because not everybody's goals, again, is a four-year university or liberal arts education. It could be going to culinary school. It can be something in the arts. But the bottom line is education is crucial, whatever you define it as, and you really have to have these conversations. So, you know, whether it be what did you learn today or you know, if they're in a math track, making sure they get the foundation arithmetic right, and then they get algebra right so that they can go on to algebra 2 and then pre-calc and calculus and so on and so forth. And what I would say is a lot of our high school students, even though they may be graduating from high school, they are not college ready, right? So as a parent, you have to make sure that they are actually college ready and they actually have whatever credits they need to be able to apply to the public and private institutions to which they may want to go, because that's another downfall of our high schools. They're not even, some of our students don't even have the credits necessary to make them candidates.
So that could be a whole other discussion right there, but definitely you're saying that parents sort of need to let go of their expectations and change their mentality in terms of what it means for their child to get an education.
For sure, and this is something that we can all evaluate. What is the value of education? Right, and talk to your kids about it. I mean, I talk to so many parents when I do workshops and such, where parents will say, well, you know, soccer is more important, or, you know, or how can I battle the technology, or, you know, my kid's getting straight A's, so aren't they going to go to a top university? And we have to disaggregate and really go in microscopically and figure out what all of this means, because the reality is by the time they're in high school, they're talking to their friends and they're in school more than they're engaging in meaningful conversations with their parents.
Wow.
Right, so, yeah.
Oh, so Taru, only have like 30 seconds left, but can you tell me, you foresee any solutions to these issues of why college is so expensive in America?
To be totally honest, I think there's some cases in the Supreme Court about figuring out this black box that is college admissions. And so until we have more top-down reforms, where there is more transparency required of our private institutions. And even public, I think that parents really have to roll up their sleeves, and students to empower your high school students to know what it takes to get into whatever colleges and make sure they have those credits and see if they want to go to college, see what other options there are for them. And gap years are great. I have to put that in there.
Well, thank you so much to Taru Clavel, Global Education Consultant. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.